You're listening to a recording from the Open Society Institute, working to build vibrant and tolerant democracies worldwide. Visit us at soros.org.
I'm very pleased to welcome you and also to announce a first for the Asia Society. We are welcoming listeners from around the world who are joining us through live audio casting via our websites. As I said, this is a first for Asia Society, so welcome to everyone. I'd like to extend a special welcome to participants in the Asia Society's Asia 21 Young Leaders Initiative, which is taking place in Singapore as we speak. For that program, we have gathered Asia's most dynamic young leaders from every country in the Asia-Pacific region and from every sector, with the aim of generating fresh thinking and imaginative solutions to solving the challenges of the 21st century. Moderating the discussion will be Maureen Ong Twin. She is director of the Burma Project Southeast Asia Initiative of the Open Society Institute. Maureen is well known by many of you here in this room as a mover and a shaker, and she's also a very good friend of the Asia Society. And if you don't know Maureen, I suggest that you get to know her immediately. I myself have only met her just recently, and I am already a big admirer. Before I turn the mic over to Maureen and introduce the panelists, I'd like to remind everyone that this event is on the record, and it is indeed being recorded, and as I mentioned earlier, streamed online. I also would like to remind you to turn off all cell phones and any other devices you have in your pockets, purses, satchels, etc., so as not to disturb the program. And finally, I would like to ask you to take a few moments to fill out the audience survey that we've put on every chair. This is so we can get your feedback on our future programming. Now, without any further ado, please join me in welcoming Maureen.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming. This is going to be a wonderful evening tonight. Because in the interest of trying to spend as much time as we can, not only to hear the speakers, but to have this, it is an emergency town hall. There is an emergency in Burma. So we want to get your feedback, your questions, as much as possible. So we're trying to keep this down to 30 minutes, the speakers, and then if you have any questions later on, we can have a conversation that will go until 7:30. I just realized, Suzanne, that we should have had a nun, maybe. Five gentlemen, sorry about that. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you are.
I know, but besides me. So I'm not going to, you can all read the bios in the flyer, so I'm not going to read that to you, since you all know how to read. I'm just going to say who they are and in which order they're going to speak. Those of you who are just listening on audio stream, you might go to the Asia Society website later, and all the bios will be there, and some of the speakers' remarks will also be posted there. So before we start, I just wanted to say a word about the UN Security Council. This morning, they met in open session. She was quite exciting. They let NGOs and non-members of the Security Council to attend this briefing by Ibrahim Gambari, and we managed to pull together about a dozen monks in the first row of the gallery. You can also go to their website and hear the. The UN has a recap, right, Paulo? So I'm not going to go on about that. If you have some questions about that, you can direct it to the panel later. So the first person who's going to speak is Professor Paulo Sergio Pinheiro, UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar. Ooh, on Burma and Myanmar. But Paulo is also Commissioner of the Organization of American States Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. After Paulo, we're going to have Kwang Din, who's a former political prisoner and now with the U.S. Campaign for Burma. Then we're going to have Mr. Patrick Shank, Human Rights Education Institute of Burma, who was in Burma last week. He's just returned. He had some fantastic video that we wanted to show you, but we can't because of one thing or another. So after Patrick, we have Ashin Chando Basakara, who is the Burma American Metta Buddhist Association. After that, Ashin Nayaka, founding director of the Buddhist Missionary Society in New York, who's are you getting a PhD in Columbia?
Yeah, I'm a business scholar in Columbia.
He's a visiting scholar in Columbia. After that, don't worry, they're only going to get 5 minutes each, and the two Seattle's are going to get three each because there's two of them. After that, we're going to, it's not really teleconference, we're going to have a phone, patch in from Nathan Mint, whose op-ed to the in the Wall Street Journal is on your folders there. And then we might have another secret guest right after the discussion, but I don't want to talk about it right now because it might not happen because of technology. Someone from inside, maybe. So, Paolo, I'm going to sit in the front, and after 5 minutes, I'm going to sort of like, I don't know, raise a paper or something. I'm going to be very strict. But I've already told the Seattle's that I'm going to have to be rude to them, and I might have to risk going to the place where the Burmese generals are all headed for. But it's worth the risk.
When you I have 1 minute to tell me, you make a sign, 1 minute, then I will conclude. Okay?
Sorry?
When I reach 4 minutes, you tell me.
Okay, right. I'm going to go back, sit down.
Okay. You are counting?
Get your watch.
Okay. Thank you. I'm very glad to be able to be here tonight. I think that when something positive happens in the UN, we have to rejoice. Particularly in this situation of emergency, as Maureen mentioned, for all the brutal repression, the crackdowns, and every and the impressive non-violent, peaceful manifestation. Last October 2nd, the Human Rights Council held the fifth special meeting of the... I haven't pressed... Yes? Okay?
No?
You can hear... I have to repeat everything? No. Okay. Then you have to discuss 1 minute. Then last October 2nd, the Council, Human Rights Council, held its fifth special session. The previous session, as you know, were on Lebanon, Darfur, and Israeli-occupied Palestinian territories. I think that was positive that at the last week of the session, the Human Rights Council was able to react to the situation. Which gives some hopes to the quick reaction of the council in face of events like we are witnessing there. It was a very impressive session because I'm following the commission and then now the council for the last 13 years, I think. It was, I must say that was... almost unanimous revulsion in face of the events. 58 speakers from all the regional groups, from Cuba to China, and there were, I was saying that was a universal appeal towards the military government so that they will not continue in this brutal repression. The language of the resolution is very strong, speaking about the killings, arbitrary detentions, even disappearance. That is not a word that is very comfortable to use in this kind of documents. I think that's very strong language. It was adopted by consensus. Nobody broke the consensus. It was sometimes people consensus is always something that's weak, that is... is nice. No, the consensus in this case was a very powerful, powerful mission, a powerful message. Then let's not underestimate and not to be too skeptical. Of course, the council, what is happening in the council is decisive. That goes together in a parallel track. What is happening in the Security Council and the Special Envoy of the Secretary General? Even if the two functions are very well separated, but it's essential articulation. And the Portuguese ambassador, who is in the presence of Europe, was very clear, saying that he expects that the UN Secretary General will support the mission impossible that I received from the Human Rights Council in terms of going to Burma, Myanmar, to make an assessment and also the implementation of the resolution, because the resolution asks for the release of prisoners, etc. I told in the council that this is not business as usual, because for the last 4 years I am requesting every month a visa. I have good diplomatic, courteous contacts, many letters, but no visa. Since November 2003, I'm not able to go there. This doesn't mean that I was not able to report, because I go to the region and I go to the border, I go to refugee camps, and I have a large network around the world. I have 1 minute, one? Yeah, okay. I think this is very much the responsibility of the chair of the council and the permanent members of the Security Council who supported the resolution in the Human Rights Council, so that I will get a visa to report. I will not work on the scenario that if they don't grant me a visa. I don't want to work. What I'm doing now, I'm talking every day with the capitals and also preparing the mission. Yesterday I had my first meeting in Geneva in the High Commission for Human Rights, so that sending people to Bangkok and other localities so that we'll have good information. And I count very much with this. And I think that is very important, this meeting. It's very important to keep alive this attention, to maintain this sense of urgency. Any way that you have to convey this need for urgency. And the last thing that I'll say, that a crisis, sometimes they are ambiguous, because the present crisis is bringing so much suffering. It's so, this crackdown, this brutality. But at the same time, crisis is better than stability, because stability sometimes is the stability of silence and the absence of movement. And I think we are having extraordinary opportunity to promote some change in the country, thanks to the brave women, nuns, monks, men who mobilized. And what I always am mistaking, peacefully, in non-violence, this is the supreme value of everything that's happening there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Actually, I prepared my statement for five pages today. But I'm allowed to speak only 5 minutes, so I have to cut short, and I have to go to my ending part of my speech. And I have few copies, and I bought at the door, so maybe some of you might have it. As we speak here today, horrible events, massive killings, and massive arrests of peaceful demonstrators by the military junta already have begun and continue in my country. And the people of Burma are now in great shock and traumatized from this brutality of the military junta. They are not afraid of reaching to night, because when the night falls, city began quiet, and then soldiers came in and raided houses by houses, monastery by monasteries. They heard the sound of truck running on the streets, doors banging, and soldiers shouting at those they have attacked and arrested the whole night. They are not able to get up and help others during the curfew hours, and they are even afraid of when their doors are knocked or broken by the soldiers. So far, the military junta claimed that they have killed 9 protesters, but however, the actual number of deaths is much more than they have claimed. We believe that more than 200 protesters, including monks and students as young as 12 years old, were killed by the Burmese military junta in a matter of days. And one of the fatalities is a Japanese reporter, Mr. Kenji Nagai. And soldiers from Rangoon General Hospital said that they received about 100 dead bodies on September 26 alone. And they were also instructed by the Honda's Minister of Health, Dr. Chou Mien, not to send ambulances to incidents without permission from the military Honda. According to some sources, the Honda is using a crematorium at Yewe Cemetery on the outskirts of Rangoon to destroy the dead bodies, and soldiers also threw dead bodies into waters. We also believe that more than 3,000 protesters, most of them monks, have been arrested and put in windowless warehouses inside the campus of the Government Technological Institute, GDI, in the Insein Township near the notorious Insein Prison. Several hundred more are being detained at various detention centers in many other cities. A number of arrests will be increased dramatically as the soldiers are now searching house by house, apartment by apartment, with photos in hands to arrest those they suspect. The military junta now claims that the situation in Burma has returned to normal. It is true that over 20,000 soldiers roam in the streets in Rangoon, and they are brutal and merciless. Arrests and ashing had made it too difficult for the people to stage protests in the streets. But this is not the end of the story. People of Burma have stopped protests for the time being, and while they transform their protests to another style. And they will treat their wounded colleagues, they will search for their missing members of their families, and they will regroup and they will come back again with stronger force. I believe that military junta will not be able to kill the spirit of the Saffron Revolution. Democracy will prevail in Burma. I was a student leader in 1988. Working together with my colleagues, we organized a nationwide popular uprising in Burma and calling on military junta to bring about political reform. The 1988 popular uprising was ended with bloodshed after the junta killed thousands of peaceful demonstrators in the streets in cold blood. We found surprisingly that international community did not pay attention to Burma at that time, and the international community failed to stop the violence in Burma. Therefore, the military junta was able to get away with crimes against humanity. We do not want the international community to fail again this time. The international community must hold the military junta of Burma accountable for these crimes against humanity and must take effective and collective action. The international community should not let this murderous regime get away with their serial killings. The people of Burma have already proved with their blood that they sincerely want democracy and human rights by peaceful means. They are not asking the military junta to move away from the power at once. All they are asking is to engage in a meaningful political dialogue with democracy movement and ethnic representatives. They are being killed, arrested, and their families are being destroyed by the junta for such a modest demand. Therefore, we hope that the international community will step in to stop the killings in Burma and to realize the political dialogue between the military junta, election winning party, Nationally for Democracy, and ethnic representatives. We are asking now for collective and effective action from the UN Security Council. A binding resolution instructing the military junta of Burma to stop killings and arresting protesters, and to treat all detainees humanely and provide them proper medical care, release all political detainees, including Aung San Suu Kyi, and engage in a meaningful political dialogue with democracy activists for the sake of national reconciliation and a transition to democracy and civilian rule. We also want UN Security Council to impose targeted sanctions against the military junta, which include an arms embargo, a travel ban of the top generals and their family members, and a ban on investment, and threaten the junta with stronger sanctions if it fails to fulfill the instructions of the Security Council. We all know that China and Russia might exercise their veto power to kill such resolutions. However, we the people of Burma, when the United States, United Kingdom, France, and democratic countries, and other like-minded members, to table the resolution at the UN Security Council as soon as possible. As the people of Burma courageously challenge the brutal junta, we want the US, UK, France, and other countries to challenge China and Russia at the Security Council. We might fail, but we will surely win. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Patrick, and I am based in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, and I do human rights documentation and human rights education work. I happen to have a visa to go to Burma before all of this went down, and I was going to be doing some training and some meetings, but the situation was heating up, and I decided that it was too sensitive to go. And so when things really heated up around the 23rd, the 24th, that weekend, I guess that was 2 weekends ago, I decided I had the visa, so I should go. I wasn't going to do my meetings and my trainings, but I just decided to go as a monitor, as an observer. So I arrived in Rangoon on the 25th, which was Tuesday, and on the 26th, I was able to observe for 5 hours the last major demonstration that has happened during this wave of protests. It ran for 5 hours. I was with it for 5 hours from Shwedagon Pagoda, which was about, it started with about 50 people, maybe 100 people, which at the time I found absolutely remarkable. There were maybe two dozen monks coming out of the pagoda and people on the street in Rangoon standing there cheering, watching the police truck leave the scene, and a huge roar went up in the crowd as the police left and the monks came out. This was remarkable to me, to think that in Rangoon, 50 people would dare to stand up to the police as they were leaving. I had no idea what was in store. As we left from Shwedagon, the group headed down to Sule Pagoda, and the crowd grew and grew to tens of thousands. There were tens of thousands of people in the streets. You've seen the pictures. You've seen the media with the maroon robes going through the center and the white on the side. It was phenomenal. It was euphoric. The scene was absolutely amazing. So there was that demonstration that ended. We got to Sule Pagoda. Sule Pagoda at that time was guarded by troops. We couldn't go into Sule Pagoda, so the monks kept us going, and we went to another pagoda called Bodadang, and the demonstration ended there at about 4 o'clock. I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but I want to sort of review what happened next. That evening was when the major crackdown happened. Kuang Din mentioned the number of arrests and the number of killings in that one night. So the next morning when I woke up, the news was on CNN. There were also rumors spreading throughout my contacts there that the crackdown had happened. So I did several meetings on that day with some activists who had not been arrested, and then I left the next day. I just want to mention a couple of anecdotes about what I observed during that time. I already told you about maybe during the question and answer, if you have more questions about what that demonstration was like, it was really phenomenal, and I have lots to share about that. But what I think is more striking was the meeting that I had with one activist on the following day who had learned that some of his colleagues had been arrested, who had learned about the raids in the monasteries, who already knew that a major crackdown, major violence was being inflicted when there was so much hope the previous day. There was so much hope among the people that there could actually be a peaceful resolution. With the monks leading it, there could be a peaceful resolution to this. And in the discussion with that activist, the thing that struck me the most was just his sadness that now the violence was inevitable, that now people were going to die. The other thing that was inevitable was exactly what Kuang Din said, that this movement would win, that the regime was going to have to change. And they had all this hope that with the monks in the head of it, that there could be a peaceful resolution, that it could be dialogue. And now with the major crackdown against the monks, he thought, now so many people are going to have to die. But there was no question of, will people have to die or will the movement end? The movement isn't ending. The media may think that there aren't these visual images on the street anymore, but across the board, everyone I talked to said, well, now we enter the next stage where we have to sacrifice, where our friends get killed. He himself said that he had stayed out of the scene because he knew that other people were going to be taken and that eventually he would have to get up and speak as a student leader, as a former political prisoner, to keep organizing people and keep going. And I had told him I planned to come back, go back in February. And he said, I hope I see you, but there's a good chance that I'll be in prison if I'm even alive. But there was no doubt in his mind that it would continue. The one other thing, I guess, about that is that it was really striking, the role of the monks during the demonstrations. The way they organized it was extremely well organized. We would go for maybe an hour and a half, And then the crowd had grown. Maybe things were getting a little bit rowdy. They would say, okay, let's stop. Everybody sat down. They would lead some meditation, some prayer, some chanting. Somebody would get up and speak. And when they got up and spoke, the one quote that I have, that and maybe I'll end with that, was the monk got up and asked the crowd, don't fight. Be disciplined. Be united and join us. Anyone can join, but we don't accept violence at all. We won't accept violence from the military government towards us, and we won't accept violence from within our group. And the crowd went crazy. People knew this was the best way to approach it. And if the military were smart, they would see this is a peaceful way we can resolve this. But they've taken out that option for themselves, and now it's inevitable that the violence will continue on their end, but it's inevitable from the opposition's end that it will continue until they win. So the last thing that activist told me was, why does the international community always wait and react? We knew this was coming. We could see it coming. Why didn't they act? Why aren't they acting? And the most upsetting thing for me too was that he said he loves Burma, of course. He loves his country. And he said, you know, it's a beautiful country. There's so much to see here. There's so much we want to show the world about what it's like here. And now they're killing monks. Now we're going to be known in the same breath as the genocide in Rwanda, as Cambodia, as what's happening in Darfur now. And he said he felt ashamed that now that's what people would know about Burma. And it really broke my heart. And I think it's really a call for the international community to stop reacting and be proactive and get it right sometime. So that was his message to all of us. Thank you.
This is I'm Burmese Buddhist monk. So my name is Shimpasa Kara. There's more feelings in my country because I'm Buddhist monk. I also in 1988 I also in demonstration in Burma.
This can you hear back there?
Yeah. Perhaps.
Closer to the mic.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. This right.
That's
okay.
Good.
This right. Okay. Okay. Because I have so many messages. Plus, I have 3 or 5 minutes. Okay. This I never said. Okay. Because this is my country, there's a military rules are more dangerous today. So also, military government is now doing the brainless, also soldier and leader, together. Then, there's not human beings, my military, and all groups, my country. So you see in Tibetan Buddhist society and Buddhist people, Buddhist monk is the only peaceful fighting for humanity, not Burma only. It's a war. So why cannot do in the military in killing the Buddhist monk? Buddhist never attacks a non-violence in the society, also worship or prayer or the humanity. But military is now in the past history in my country. My country is in 1947 from the British colony. Also, Japanese government, the British government never attacks a monastery and never kills a Buddhist monk. This, I was born in Burma. So I see in the every country, in the every soldier, they respect a Buddhist monk. Why not they respect my military government also attacks every day, every night in the monastery, in the Debolas. Last day in my monastery, last day or 6 hours ago, my teachers told me on the telephone. So last time they came to the army in the monastery and 35 soldiers. So attacks 1 o'clock in the night. 1 o'clock in the night. They told me, the Buddhist leader, who is the leader in the temple, in the monastery? So, and the leader is a fight against in the guns. Or who is the teaching in the monastery? Those are three or two or five. This is every year, every test in the monastery. This is very important to my country because I believe in the non-violent way in my country. I need a peace of pure. Also in the war. I never test in the violence also in Belize or my country in all Buddhist monks. This is my message. I also in the fighting my military government only in from the United States demonstration. Peaceful war, peaceful humanity. This is my message. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for having with us here. We're gathering here to talk about suffering revolution, right? But no one talk about suffering revolution. So let me the concept of suffering revolution. Right? So suffering revolution is a non-violent revolution, non-violent revolution introduced by Buddha during his lifetime. So it's a, suffering revolution means, literally means holding onto truth and self-realization and self-modification. So in Burma, the price of silence had came to close when suffering revolution started in early September. But in Burma, there are two leading dominant forces, like spiritual authority and military force. Now their conflict has reached center stage right now. But I'd like to clarify, suffering revolution is not power struggle. Right. It is symbolized as important in ongoing struggle between righteousness and unrighteousness. That is, this I just like to clarify from Buddhist point of view. Suffering revolution is not power struggle. We are came out to street just to speak out. We came out to street just for chanting for peace, for loving kindness, for compassion. We just called government to come to the pole of peaceful negotiation. So I just like to, I'll explain later when you ask me about suffering revolution. There are a lot of things to explain, but I have short time to speak here. So what I like to say is, military government's violent crackdown against peaceful Buddhist monk is totally unacceptable. So massacre of Buddhist monks is a crime, terrible crime against humanity, we like to call. This is a greatest tragedy in Buddhist history of Burma. So international community should give most attention to stop this military government. Because Buddhism is one of most, secret country in Southeast Asia. So it is society's well-motivated institution in Burma. So Buddhist monk in Burma, we are the peace of Burma. Culturally, we are the peace of Burma. So military governments, drastic reaction to stamp out peaceful demonstrator is totally unacceptable. So we come here to sing our message from Buddhist point of view. Our suffering revolution will be never turn back until military government crackdown of Topel. So this is my last message. I will give later explanation. That's all. Thank you very much.
In program, we've got somebody from inside Burma who's actually the leader of the monks, and his nom de guerre is Ugambira. So anybody who gives an interview from the monks, they all call themselves Ugambira. Isn't that cool? So I didn't want to announce it earlier in case there was some people in the room who might, try to shut it down. So he's going to give some remarks, and then you can have questions for him. And Goandin is going to be translating.
Did you call
him? He's already on the line.
He's already on the line?
Yeah.
But can you on the line so we can
on the line, my
yawe.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Xinbia la.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Xinbia la. Do you know who I got here? Hello. จ้าละจ้าละจ้าละရှင်ပြအဲ့လိုဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ဒီနေ့မှာဘာပြောရှင်လဲရှင်ပြတပည့်တော်တွေကအဲ့ဒီဟိုဟာလုံးနေတယ်ဒီကူရိုက်နာဟိုဟာလုံးနေဆိုတော့လူတွေကလည်းအယောက်တရားနေအောင်လောက်ရှိတယ်ဆိုတော့ရှင်ပြစီကအထူးသဖြင့်ရှင်ပြစီကစကားကိုတပည့်တော်တို့ကြားရှင်တယ်ခါရှင်ပြသူလက်ရှိတမအဲ့ဒါကိုရှင်ပြပြောလို့ရတယ်လို့ရှိရင်တပည့်တော်တို့ဒီမှာနိုင်ငံခြားသားတွေလက်ရှိတယ်အဲ့ဒါကိုတပည့်တော်ဘာသ
me help.
Salo Yavia.
Then
I'll be down
with any Nepal Mia Malala.
Using the Breda go beyond my bed. So, what you would like to know? Yes.
Yeah,
he would like to thank all of you for gathering here today. Sep job up
here. Yeah, hope he.
He said he will be ready to answer your questions if you have.
You can ask question.
Okay.
You can ask by Brahmis.
Aku poni jauh ni, oh, tak kai ni lah si lah, poni ni oh panai lah, sabi lah panai lah si bade lah.
Jemput jalan mesti.
Jalan, jalan. Jalan, jalan.
The question is that is there still continuing the arrest and raid at the Buddhist monastery by the Burmese military junta? So the Sayaro said that yeah, the military junta is still continuing the arrest and break at the Buddhist monastery every night and every day.
Bilo lani boma, tongtai di bawang jema, lani boma, ta bangchao di tru tata tata ile miya iba le, yango me manu li net miu di di ma.
He said there are so many soldiers surrounding at the Buddhist monasteries and also in the streets, especially in city of Rangoon and Manali.
There was another question back there.
I would like to know if you feel there is a way to use the Buddhist principle of harmony and affirmation and love to begin a process with this government that is so hard for everyone to deal with, but it has offered a new constitution and a seven-stage process for democracy. Can that be affirmed as a first step by the leadership of the Buddhists?
Mira ro uzin ro ni ne di Buddha ge tiya ro ne ni bo no di metta ye nyin chan ye dhamma ye paw mi ro di na pha su su go tong jan lo ma ya nai bu la na hu na pha lout de phwe si bon chan u ri ne di
ညီသားအဆင့်9000တန်းပြမြေပုံကိုဒီပထမအဆင့်အနေနဲ့လက်ခံလို့မရနိုင်ဘူးလားအဲ့လိုမေးပါတယ်အဲဒါတွေကိုကျွေးရလို့ဒီတိုင်းမဲ့ဆက်ပြီးတော့ကြိုးစားနေတယ်မေတ္တာတွေဓမ္မတွေငြိမ်းချမှုတွေနဲ့ပဲဒီအကျမ်းမဖက်တဲ့ငြိမ်းချမ်းတဲ့လှုပ်ရှားမှုတွေနဲ့ဒီတစ်နေ့တစ်ခုလုံးပြုတ်ပြအောင်ဒါသက်သက်တဲ့ကြိုးစားနေပါတယ်အခုဒါပေမဲ့ဖြစ်နေတာကနားပါစီဆိုရတာ ဒီငင်းချမ်းတဲ့ဓမ္မလေးနဲ့ကြိုးစားနေတာဟိုသူ့အနေနဲ့ကအကျန့်ဖက်မှုတွေနဲ့အရန်တုံ့ပြန်နေတယ်နေရောညာရောတန်ဃာတွေကိုဖန်ဆင်းနေတယ်လူလူကိုဖန်ဆင်းနေတယ်အတိတော့နောက်ထပ်ဒီဆမ္မတန်လုံပြုံးရေတွေကိုချပါတယ်ရန်ကုန်နယ်မှာနေမှာပုံမှန်တရားလေးစက်လေးထုတ်ပြန်ထားပြီးတော့ဒါလူလူတန်ဃာတွေကိုအရန်ချက်ချက်ကျင်းပေါင်းတည်တဲ့ဒါလုပ်ရပြီးလုပ်တယ်ဖန်ဆင်းမှုတွေတရားလုပ်နေတယ် တစ်ဖက်ကအရန်စံတက်တဲ့တုံ့ပြန်မှုတွေလူခွင့်ချိုးဖောက်မှုတွေနဲ့စိတ်ပြင်းပြထန်လုံလွတ်နေတဲ့အတွက်စိတ်ကိုပြင်းပြထန်ထန်လုံလွတ်နေတဲ့အတွက်ဒါတော်တော်လေးတော့ခက်ခက်ကြည့်တယ
် He said that they are Buddhist men and they always prefer to use peace and mercy and loving and kindness to respond to the situation. They always call for the non-violence movement. They never use of violence. They always encourage people to follow the peaceful means to express their desires. But their peaceful movement is being responded by the regime with the brutal forces, which are merciless and very brutal. Every day, Buddhist monks are being arrested, Buddhist monasteries are being raided. So it is quite difficult in this situation. But anyway, they are still holding the peace and loving kindness to respond to the situation.
I think we should just take one more question for Seattle, because even though they say you can't track sat phones down, but who knows, right? Somebody's listening. Sorry?
He believes, right? I have all of them. Shin Pia, who made our...
You have the thing? Okay, he's got that thing. He'll tell you later.
I just wonder if there's any information we can get about what the junta is doing with Aung San Suu Kyi. There were ultimatums put to her, four ultimatums, in order for her to respond to that in order to have a meeting. Does he have any information of what's happening with that now?
He may not have that. Can we have another question that is more...
Thank you. I would like to know if the monks are aware of what the international community is doing at the United Nations, ASEAN, and the rest of the international community to support the peaceful revolution in Burma, or not doing. What information do you have?
The Jinpiao ni ne the international nangan daga ni piro the အရှင်ဘုရားတို့ရဲ့လှုပ်ရှားမှုကြီးတွေကကိုညီဆောင်ရနေကြတယ်ကိုသိပါသလားတဲ့ကုလသမဂ္ဂရောနောက်ကဒီအာဆီယံနိုင်ငံတွေကရောဒီအမေရိကန်ဆိုအားလုံးပေါ့နော်ဒီနိုင်ငံအားလုံးကနေပြီးတော့အရှင်ဘုရားတို့ရဲ့ဒီလှုပ်ရှားမှုကြီးပေါ်မှာပံ့ပိုးကူညီနေကြတယ်ဆောင်ရနေကြတယ်အရှင်ဘုရားတို့သိပါသလားတဲ့မိပါတယ်ဗျာ
ဒါတွေကိုဒီလိုတော့တားရတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့ချီရောက်တဲ့ပံ့ပိုးကူညီမှုဖြစ်တော့ရမလားနဲ့နေတာတွေတော့ဒါထင်ရှားပါလေဒါတွေကိုထိရောက်တဲ့လက်တွေ့ကြလဲဒီလိုပံ့ပိုးကူညီမှုတွေတက်ပေါ်တော့တယ်ဒီမှာကလူခွင့်ချုပ်ပေါင်းမှုတွေကအင်မတန်ကြီးလွန်းနေဒီမှာလူခွင့်ချုပ်ပေါင်းမှုဘယ်လောက်ကြီးလဲဆိုတော့ဒီလိုမျိုးလက်ပါတီတန်လားချောက်ပတ်ဆိုတာမရှိတဲ့အပြင်ပေါ်ပဲအခုဆိုရဟန်းပါမနေတွေမှာရဟန်းပါမနေတွေမှာအပေါင်းအောင်သွားလာနေထိုင်တဲ့အနေအထားလေးဖြစ်နေတယ်ဒါကြောင့်ဒီလိုမျိုးအခြေအနေမျိုးတွေဒီပေါ်တော်တော်ဝါးဆက်ရောက်နေတဲ့လူခွင့်ချုပ်ပေါင်းမှုတွေဒါကြောင့်ဒီလိုမျိုးနိုင်ငံတကာကဒီလိုမျိုးလုံးတဲ့ဆိုတာမျိုးတွေကတော့ကြားတော့ကြားပြရပဲထျောက်တဲ့ဟာတွေတက်ဖို့တော့ထျောက်တဲ့လှုပ်ရှားမှုတွေပေါ့ထျောက်တဲ့ပူညီမှုတွေတက်ဖို့လိုအပ်ပါလေ။ဒါကြောင့်လည်းပဲအခုဒီမေတ္တာတင်ရလို့ဒီလိုမျိုးလူပိကော်မတီကလည်းဒီလိုမျိုးလုပ်တယ်ဆိုတော့ဒါကိုအာရဝန္တာနဲ့ဦးဇင်းတို့ကမှပြည်သူလူတရားလုံးပူဇော်ဝန္တာအရာကျိုးဆိုပါလေ
။ He said that they are aware of the action from the international community but he feels that these are not enough.And to stop the violence in Burma. And actually, the human rights abuses in Burma is so huge. And people are not allowed to walk freely. Even Buddhist monks are now to hide to avoid the arrest. And they heard about the action of the international community. And he welcomed the action of the Professor Pinheiro Sajiru and UN Human Rights Council.But he feels that these are not enough. So he would like to have the international community to be more active, more effective, and more responsive to the situation in Burma.
I think we should give the Shin Piao a big hand.
Shin Piao, who are you? Let's go to the Oba Bini. Shin Piao, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?အရှင်ဘုရားခုနောက်ဆုံးအနေနဲ့ဒီလူထုကိုပေါ့ဒီမှာစီယုံရောက်ရှိနေတဲ့လူတွေကိုပါမှာကျင်ကြပါလေဒီမှာတော့အမေရိကန်နိုင်ငံသားတွေ NGO တွေနောက်တစ်ခါဒီ UN ကကိုယ်စားလှယ်တွေသတင်းတောက်တွေအများကြီးရှိပါအဲသူတို့ကိုအရှင်ဘုရားနောက်ဆုံးပါပြောချင်ပါသလဲ
ပြောချင်တာတော့ အခုလို့မြမအရေးဘူးမြမဒီနှစ်ပေါင်းများစွာကြာနေတဲ့နှစ်40ကျော်ကြာဟိုဒုက္ခရောက်နေတဲ့နှစ်40ကျော်အဲဖုံးရှုံနေလူခွေတွေကိုပြန်လဲပေါ်ထုတ်ပြနေအောင်ကြိုးစားနေတဲ့ဒီအခုလို့ဒီဥပပ္ပိတွေဒါမေကသူ့အပ္ပတိတွေအပြည့်တော့တက်ရောက်လာကြတဲ့ပြည်သားတွေဒါတွေအလုံးကိုအထူးကျေးဇူးတင်ကြောင်းနဲ့ဒီဟာတွေကိုလက်တွေ့ကြတဲ့ဖြစ်ရောက်တဲ့အောင်မြင်မှုတွေဖြစ်ဖို့ဒါအဆက်မပြတ်ကြိုးစားပါပါဆိုတာကိုဒါဥစဉ်နေတဲ့ဒါရေးတစီပဲဒါအထူးလေးနဲ့ဒါမှာကြတိုင်တွင်းတင်တယ်ဒီဟာကိုလည်းပဲဒီဟာကအခုလေးထားတိုင်ပြောရရင်တော့ဒါတကယ်ပဲနိုင်ငံတကာအခုဒီဟာရေးတစီလို့နေပြီဆိုတာကသိကြပါတယ်ဒီနိုင်ငံထဲမှာအလားတင်နာပါကအင်မတန်ပူပဲရက်ဆက်ကြံ့ကြုတ်တဲ့ဒါလောက်ရတဲ့နဲ့ပူပဲစနစ်ကြပေါ်သူကသူ့အနာတီးငယ်ရဲ့အတွက်ဖိနှိပ်ဒါရက်တဲ့နေတာတတ်ချက်တာတွေဖန်တီးတာတွေသတ်ချက်ဖတ်ကြည့်ရတယ်ဒီလိုမျိုးအကျဉ်းစခန်းတွေကိုတန်ခါတွေကိုရာနဲ့ကြည့်ကြည့်ပို့ပြတာတွေထောင်းနဲ့ကြည့်ကြည့်တတ်ပြတာတွေဒါနေ့စဉ်သက်တိုင်ညစဉ်သက်တိုင်သူလုပ်နေတာဖြစ်တဲ့ဒါတွေကိုလူသားချင်းသာနာထောက်ထားတဲ့အနေနဲ့လူသားချင်းသာနာထောက်ထားတဲ့လူခွင့်ရေးတွေပြန်လည်ပေါ်ထုတ်ပေးတဲ့ဒီလိုလူခွင့်ရေးကော်မတီကနေဒီလိုမျိုးပေါ်ထုတ်ပေးမယ်ဆိုရင်တော့ဒါအများကြီးဝန်တာပါလေဆိုတာဟိုနိုင်ငံသားတွေအားလုံးရဲ့ပူစာဥစဉ်ကသူတို့အဖွဲ့အနေပြီးတော့ဒါသိနေတဲ့ဒါပြောကြပါလေ
Jesus တယ်ပါလေဖေ He said that people of Burma has been under the military rule for over 40 years and he appreciates all of you for working hard to promote the human rights and democracy in Burma and he encouraged you all to continue to support the democracy movement in Burma. He highlighted that international assistance is needed urgently.And because of military Honda is trying every way, every brutal methods to keep on hold on to the power. So that is why now many Buddhist monks are killed, many Buddhist monks are arrested and sent into the prison. So he would like to request all of you on behalf of the people of Burma to continue your activities to stop killings in Burma. Thank you. Xin Pia, Dazu, Jabiru, Yalai Baruma, Pia.
ဟုတ်ပြီဟုတ်ပြီဖြစ်ရောက်တဲ့အောင်မြင်မှုတွေရအောင်ဖြစ်ရောက်တဲ့တုံ့ပြန်မှုတွေရအောင်တော့ဒါတုတ်ပြီပေါ့အဲလူကြီးစတားရခံရပေါ့နော
်ကျေးမပါဗျာ
Did you tell him only 5 minutes?
ဟုတ်ပြီဟုတ်ပြီအားလုံ
း Somebody had to stop.
Okay, thank you, Shimpia.
Sorry for that question.
Question မျိုးနဲ့ဘီဘီတူဘီဘီပြလိုက်ပြီ Okay, now we're going to see whether the Mesot sorry, there's somebody at the Thai Burma border who's going to talk for 5 minutes, the former ex-political prisoner. There were these two questions that maybe Ashinaga, well, if he comes on, then you have to stop. But you want to answer how many monks were killed and arrested?
But it is very difficult to get accurate number of right. how many monks were killed. So I have, you know, how many, almost 2,000 monks were arrested. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, in GTI governments.
How many? 2,000. How many missing?
I don't know exactly. How many monks are missing? How many monks have disappeared? Like missing. There are, you know, about 80 senior monks are still in detention, in, you know, government... Technical institution. 80 senior monks. Yeah. 80 senior, age over 60 and 80. So there are 450 monks like us. And 50 novices. Mm. 135 men and females still in detention. So what we know to tell is 138 people were killed.
Let me clarify.
He has more information.
In Rangoon, those who were arrested are put in the two different locations. They are not, the military contacts that do not send them to the insane prison directly. So they were being detained at the two different locations. One is a Jackson Detention Center in Tamwe Township. The other one is, like Seattle said, in the campus of insane Government Technological Institute.Which we call GDI in Insane Township, which is nearby Insane. So in the GDI, they made the makeshift warehouses with windowless warehouses and put them in there. So from then, they are classifying for one is a passerbys, another one is those who watch and see the protest. That one is those who clap and encourage, and four is those who participate in it. So everybody, every class is violating the rule because they impose a law banning the gathering of more than 5 persons. So far, about 3,000 people are now being detained in 2 different locations in Rangoon. But many more are being detained at the other cities in Manila, Monyin, Myitgyina, many other parts.
Okay, we've got Major Min on the line. He's the one who spent 15 years in prison twice he was arrested. And he made it to the border just 3 months ago, so he's just out. He was out in 2005. He's in a secret
Mesa.
Yeah, but he's really in a dangerous situation right now because he could be picked up. He's got no papers. So,
Okay. Vale. Okay, I change and help you. Okay, help you. Sorry.
I was in Pandemia during the at Rangoon University. During the 1988 democracy movement, I was the student leader of the NLD and of the student group which provides security for Tong San City. In ADA, I give a speech opposing the military government and was arrested on the spot by military intelligence and tortured in their interrogation camp. They severely beat me and used electric shock. I was in prison over 15 years, over 7 of them in solitary confinement. They shackled my legs for an entire year. I suffer a lot from physical and mental torture. Once I was released from prison on 6 July 2005, I resumed working by peaceful means to serve the democratic cause of my country. We found the 88th Generation Student Group with other former student leaders like Ningo Nang and Kuku Ji. On 15 August, the government raised the price of tuition to 5 times. As a result, people found it very difficult to make ends meet. From 19 August, we started to demonstrate peacefully for change. In this demonstration, the security force and the civilian ends of the region first fire one shoot, then they arrested and men, sometimes lacerated them like animals. Then they tied the men up and beat them. They also publicly dissolved the men. Therefore, the men started the Padami Kosuna Dhamma, which is a spiritual white horse. It refuses to accept offering or donation from the military authority or to perform any religious ritual for them. The peaceful demonstration following the boycott, this time, men and students were violently cracked down by the military. And member of a government created civilian organization and a vigilante force working with it. They opened fire on the car, beat without restraint, and killed and arrested those who participate in the protest in broad daylight as well as at night time. I believe hundreds of men and civilians have died. Thousands have been arrested. We do not know their whereabouts. The soldiers are surrounding monasteries and teaching their devotees from different and food to the monks. In this way, they are effectively starving monks in their monastery. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. I would like to request the international community to take effective action two resolutions at the United Nations Security Council. I would also like to ask you to try your best to pressure the military government in Burma to release at once those arrested and detained political prisoners, including Aung San Suu Kyi. The constitution drafting process was not inclusive, and restrict the right of the people of Burma and entrust the rule of the military. A monitoring mechanism by the UN should be established to investigate all these unlawful acts and human rights violations. An independent judicial mechanism is utterly needed in Burma to prevent random arrests and extrajudicial executions. Finally, I would like to convey to you all that the determination of the Burmese leaders to achieve democracy were not fake, despite the recent crackdown. I believe the only option for the military government is to meet with and engage in dialogue with the leaders of the opposition movement at once. It is what the UN and the whole world is requesting, and more importantly, what the people of Burma are courageously calling for. Thank you very much.
If anybody has a question for Nathan Mien, he could probably take a question.
This up here?
Sorry?
Let him stop.
Okay, then.
Could you just tell us what the situation's like there on the border? Give us a sense of...
What's it like there on the border? Well, he can't even go out of his house because, I mean, he's got to be very careful himself, so... It's what he sees of the border is the inside, you know what I mean? He's not even able to move around. When I was there last week, we gave him protection by being in a big foreign car and, you know, with white people inside and whatnot. But then he was out and almost got arrested twice when he was out with some Burmese, and they had to bribe the Thais to let him go. Because if they had taken him back to the Burmese border, because the river is right there, he would have, God knows, he would have gotten 50 years. They would have been put him right in prison. Yes,
Patrick. Can I ask him a question?
Sure.
So I was wondering if you could give us an update about the status of the student leaders who were detained in August, because a lot of media attention happened when the monks came out, but previous to those protests, after the price hike on August 15th, many of the 88 generation student leaders were detained, and we haven't had any information about them at all, and there's lots of speculation that some have been killed, some are suffering extreme injuries from torture, and I was wondering if any information has leaked out about that, and if people continue to be concerned in what they're doing about it.
Hello? Okay. ကျွန်တော်ကိုယ်တိုင်ဒီစစ်တော်လေးကစစ်တော်လေးမှာကျွန်တော်ပြောနိုင်တာရှိပါတယ်အခုတို့ကပေါ့ဒီစစ်တော်လေးကစစ်တော်လေးမှာကျွန်တော်ပြောနိုင်တာရှိပါတယ်ဒါကြောင့်လဲဆိုတော့ကျွန်တော်ကိုယ်တိုင်ဒီစစ်တော်လေးကစစ်တော်လေးမှာကျွန်တော်ကိုယ်တိုင်ခံစားခဲ့ရပြီလို့ပဲအဲ့အတွက်ကျွန်တော်ကပေါ့ဒီအနာရှင်ရဲ့ဇယလက္ခဏာဆိုတိုင်းတို့ကနှိမ့်ပန်းနေနေဆက်မယ်တို့ခေါင်းချမယ်အဲ့ဒီလိုဘာလို့
အကျဉ်းသက်လုပ်ငန်းတွေလုပ်ပါတယ်လို့သူတို့ကတရားစွဆွဲနေတယ်အဲ့လိုစွဆွဲရတဲ့သူတို့ရဲ့ဒီစွဆွဲချက်တွေကမှားရမှာအိမ်မှားရတဲ့သူကအမှန်ဖြစ်အောင်ဆိုပြီးသူတို့ကရဲရဲနဲ့နှိမ့်နဲ့နှိမ့်ချက်နဲ့ဝန်ခံကိုင်းတယ်အဲ့အတွက်ပေါ့ကျွန်တော်တို့ကြားရတဲ့ကြားရတာကကိုမင်းကိုနိုင်ပါဝင်ဒီအများစုကရှေ့ရှေ့ရှင်တို့ရဲ့ကြောင်းသားကောင်းတော်အများစုကဒီနှိမ့်နဲ့နှိမ့်ချက်မှု
He said that he believed that many of these detained student leaders are being tortured by their interrogators physically and psychologically. And because according to his experience in detention and interrogation center, he believed that torture will be very severe. And since he left from Burma, the military junta accused Nedimi for working for the 88 generation student inside Burma from the Thai Burma border. So the military junta linked Mingonai, Gogoji, and Nedimi as working to unrest the country from inside and outside. So he believed that the military junta, after they arrested the student leaders, they were applying severe torture to them to forcibly admit their accusations. And according to what he learned from inside Burma, Mingonang and some student leaders are hospitalized in the prison in the inside the insane prison.
Thanks.
Okay.
There was a question about Aung San Suu Kyi and the four conditions. Paolo, would you like to comment on that?
About
Aung San Suu Kyi and the four conditions for meeting Than Shwe, like the big reward she gets to meet Than Shwe.
I haven't read the communique of Mr. Gambari, but what I have in the press is an invitation for no conversation. The imposition of this.
Is it supposed to get read?
It's supposed, yeah.
It's on.
It's okay. No, I haven't read the official communique of Mr. Gambari, but I read in the press. I think this four conditions are an invitation for non-dialogue, because I don't think that I cannot speak for her, but I don't think that these conditions are acceptable. It's a completely unacceptable. I can't give this answer. What I'm saying that in terms of I think that these conditions perhaps will make difficult an acceptation of dialogue. But this is the General Secretary of NLD that must evaluate and
it's
her decision. But I have the feeling that is a non-starter.
Than Shwe is a master in delay tactics also. We have a question from one of the Asia 25 participants in Singapore. It came through email. It's in technology. Wonderful. And the question is, how difficult is it for people to use the internet and send and get pictures or email abroad? Guan Din or Patrick, would you like to take that?
You can go first.
Internet is a very wonderful thing. Actually, internet and the cell phone are still luxury items in Burma. Only those are children of the generous and they are cronies. They only can use these facilities properly and widely. But our people, they learn, especially young generation Burmese people, they are quite smarter. They are smarter than us. They know how to learn the internet technology. They know how to find the way to use these information technology and these equipments. So they are smart. Now, because of them, because of their abilities, because of their knowledge, now we are seeing the photographs and the video footages coming out from Burma to show the world what is happening in Burma, actually. So actually quite difficult. Sometimes there's a two kind of different, right? The dialect, the dial up, and also DSL. So many people are not able to use DSL service, which is more expensive, and also allow to those people who are in the crony circles. But they have allowed some internet cafes to open the shop or open the business. So these internet cafes have to use a DSL service. Then they also, actually, the military junta always block the G-Talk or something like that. But these internet cafes have to find we how to use this G-Talk. This is their business attraction to their customers. Customers will if they have they can serve these internet services, high speed internet plus G-Talk. And so even though the military junta are trying to block this internet usage to the general population of Burma, the business owner are trying to find a way to avoid these restrictions. That is why now people are able to use internet and they can deliver the messages out of the country. And in some cases, actually, there's no internet in Burma. Actually, it is called intranet. Because of the region, control the main server, and it allows which website can see, which website cannot. So this is like the intranet. But people of Burma, they know how to overcome these obstacles. They know how to go to the proxy servers. And also, they know how to upload the bib files of photos and images to the file sharing website somewhere. Then they just give us a username and password. So what we have to do is go to the file sharing website, use
the... Wait, don't tell all the secrets.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, Patrick, you want to...
Did you want to comment? I wanted to ask the CROs also about the monks' dexterity and internet.
Just a quick comment that while I was there, I did try to visit internet cafes as many as I could to check the access. And last week, there was access, but it was sort of the same situation where people were trying to use proxy servers. And it's being used for political purposes now or just information to get it out. But generally, it's as Kuang Din said, business people use it. And young people, they're hungry for information and they've been cut off for so long. So, so that's led to a lot of creativity and getting around the sensors.
So, shouldn't I go? The monks, no, I wanted to ask you, monks' expertise in internet and IT.
I don't know much, experience. All are blockage. We are not all are blockage in Burma. So we have to find a way how to open this way. This, you know, suffering revolutions, trial of determination rather than a physical context.
Okay. The gentleman, then the lady back there.
Thank you. Your last comments sort of suggested a role for younger people in the movement right now, and I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more elaborately about that. What is the